Abraisa. One of the top line quoted in Abraisa that sometimes the Tanoim will write in Abraisa just in Yoni Derech Eretz. They don't necessarily have to write halachas of tzitzis and tefillin and shofar and lulav. Sometimes they'll just write in Yoni Derech Eretz. So that was on the top line, and the Gemara continues on the fourth line. Tana Rabban, we have another Braisa. Ashos the coast of the Vasachas, a fellow has a little cup of schnapps, let's say. So he swallows the whole cup of schnapps in one shot. So it says in the Braisa, I raise a gargon. That's not Derech Eretz. Shnayim, if he takes half of the schnapps glass at one time, then another half. So that's Derech Eretz. What if he sips it so slowly that he takes the cup in three, shloisha, so that in the days of the Tanoim, that indicated it's arrogance, nigasi haruch. It depends on whatever the context and the society is. It all depends. At that time, that was an indication of nigasi haruch. The Yom Rami Barab, the Gemara had a comment before. The Gemara said that the proper derech eretz is that the butcher should not sell the flesh before they remove the skin, before they do hefshid v'nituach, and they check to see if there are any trefes. Strictly speaking, you have a right to follow the roi. The roi behemis ksheris saying, roi behemis do not have any trefes in it. But since the trefes on the lungs is a miyotamotsu means more than 10%, trefes on the lungs is sometimes up to 14%, so therefore the din requires that you have to check on the lungs. But the other trefes are way less than that. So that's Mir Chenemot, so you don't even have to check it all. So the Gemara says in the Braisa, there is a din in the Chumash that when you plant a tree, the pears, that usually pears don't grow. In the first couple of years, it's not going to grow. But even if pears do grow, the first 3 years, you're not permitted to eat the orla. You have to wait till the fourth year. Then even the fourth year, you have to bring the pears, either bring the pears to Yerushalayim and eat it Bigdusha V'Tahara, or be paid it, and then you can eat the chutz to Yerushalayim. But the halacha requires you must wait at least the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the pears. So from that din of our law, that's supposed to teach us the lesson of gidul. Sometimes the halacha requires you got to wait 3 years. So that should teach gidul to the butchers that they shouldn't sell the flesh right away before being paid.
Savlanut.
So that's what that was the theme that the Gemara had before. And we should learn out that lesson from Orla, that you sometimes the Torah requires that you should wait 3 years. So that's what this Braisa is going to say. A member of Rami Barab, it's not a Braisa. Om Rami Barab, Chatsuva is a certain plant that grows straight down. It doesn't, usually when you plant a bush or a tree, so the roots will spread sideways. Sometimes they spread very far. Sometimes they spread very far, 25 amas away. A Mishnah in the first paragraph and the second paragraph in Baba Basra. So this chatzuva, such a plant, so it just grows straight down. So that teaches a lesson in Derech Eretz. Sometimes there are a lot of ganavim in the world, and they say you just can't live without gambling everybody else's money. You have to go sideways. So they should learn a lesson from chatzuva. There is such a thing. The chatzuva is a plant. It doesn't have seichel. It's not nitztava ala gezel, and it's a good yekin. It minds its own business, and it just grows straight down. It doesn't go sideways. It doesn't creep into anybody else's rishus. So the Gemara speaks about this in the end. The very Gemara has such a thing that we should learn in Yoni. We should learn in Yoni Gezel from the Nemola that the ants never steal each other's food that they put away. And Tznius we can learn from the Chasul and different Midas Tavis, different in Yonim of Tznius and Dachars we can learn from the animals. The Gemara says here you can learn also from the vegetables. Chatzuva, we should learn the lesson from this Chatzuva that the roots grow straight down, they don't grow sideways. That's Mikateya Raglan Dirishiyaya. The Rishoyim who are Ganovim, who steal from other people. So this Chatzuva will cut off their feet. It means it gives Musar that it's possible for even not for a bus of a dog. It's possible for a vegetable to grow straight down. So a human being for sure should be able to keep to himself and not to steal from other people. So we can even learn the lesson of Gezel, not to be a gazma from the Chatzuva. Netiyah, the halacha requires that you're not allowed to eat the pears that grow the first 3 years because of Orla. So that's Mikateya Ragle and the Katzavai, the Katzovim, the butchers who don't wait. And they sell the flesh right away before they even check to see if there are any trefes. So the institution of Orla, that you're not allowed to eat the first 3 years, will cause, not literally, but figuratively, it will cause them to cut off their feet. It means that the Katzovim, the butchers will be punished for not waiting, not having sablanut, and they should have learned that lesson from the Netiyah that you're supposed to wait 3 years. And also the boile nidus, that's a more so.
Yeah.
Let's say the wife didn't go to the mikveh yet. So wait another day till the wife will go to the mikveh. What says you have to have a little gedul? So we should learn gedul. The man who doesn't have gedul to wait till his wife is able to go to mikveh should learn from the tia, from the institution of Orlo. Sometimes you have to have gedul to wait 3 years. Turmiso is a fruit or a vegetable. I don't know what it is.
Lupine. Lupine.
What is that? You don't know.
A vegetable.
The turmiso is some kind of a vegetable that tastes awful. The way it grows in the ground tastes awful.
Is about the turmiso.
Yeah, and you have to cook it many, many times until it has a flavor. But after you cook it 7 times. One after the other, you cook it and then you spill out the water, and then you cook again, spill out the water. Each time, after you cook it 7 times, then it has a pleasant flavor. So this institution of Turmiso, that such a thing exists, Mekater Raglim, the Sanei and Shal Yisrael, that will cause the Yidden. Sanei and Shal Yisrael means the enemies of the Jews, but that's just a Loshon Saginaw. It means the Jewish people. Sometimes the Tanakh describes that the Jewish people worship one of it, or a second of it, or a third of it, or 4, 5, 6, 7, and they never, since they came on the Shtangifam, to worship the Rabbanu Shalom. They're trying out so many different religions, and each one Teignish. They keep on training in, instead of the first, the second, the third, but the Rabbanu Shalom is out of the question. They can't even have like the Turmiso. So that's what the Gemara has a lashon. Shenema, there's a pasuk in Shoftim. They worshipped Avodah Zarah. What did they do? Yavdu es habolim. They worshipped number one. Ves hashtoris number two. Ves alei aram number three. Ves alei tzidu number four. Ves alei moav number five. Ves alei bnei amah number six. Ves alei plishton number seven. And after all of that, they keep on. They see this teignish and that teignish. After doing all the 7, vayazvu es Hashem v'loy avadu, and they neglected the Rabbanu Shalom. They did not worship the Rabbanu Shalom. So the Gemara asks. Obviously not. If they're worshipping Avodah Zarah to the right and to the left, obviously they're not. So what does that mean? Masha Shnema Vayazvus Hashem says that they neglected the Rabban Shalom any day Shaloy Avodu. Isn't it obvious that they didn't worship him? So what does it mean? Matalam Avodah Avodu. Mar says, no! Means, even after trading in all the Avodah Zarah, Sachari Kechlos HaKol, still never occurred to them that they should worship the Rabban Shalom. They gave up all the religions and no good. So they didn't even try the Jewish religion. I'm a blood. I'm a kodesh bochum. I feel like a turmis. I said, I'm worse than a turmis. Why? It tastes awful. The vegetable tastes awful raw. So you have to cook it and cook it and cook it 7 times, and then it tastes delicious. And they eat it bikinuach asude. They eat it as a dessert at the end because it's tasty. So they. The Bnei Yisrael, after worshipping Avodah Zarah, 7 different Avodah Zarahs,
they didn't
even want to try out the Jewish religion. So we should. So that's what the member of the Amora was. We should learn the lesson from the Turmis, that sometimes after trying many different things, things work out at the end. After 7 different Avodah Zarahs, maybe it's time to try out at least the Jewish religion, to give it a chance. Tana Mishmei the Rav Meir, Bryce quotes Rav Meir saying, "From the Madikin Torah Yisrael, why did the Baruch Shalom give the Torah to the Jewish people? Because they're very tough people, and the Torah is needed to tame them down, to keep them in control. Otherwise, they would go out of control." Tana the Beri of Bishmol, we have a passage in Chumash that says, "Miminoi Eish Dos Lomar," that the Torah is fiery. What do you mean the Torah is fiery? So the Gemara has that there's 2 interpretations of that. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Bnei Yisrael a fiery Torah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruim Halalu, Shitinasim Lahem, Das,
Eish.
What does it mean? That the Jewish, the same as Reb Meir said, that the Jewish people are such azim, they need a Torah to tame
them
down.
Like fire, soften the iron.
Yeah, to control them. And so that's the first suggestion, that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave the Bnei Yisrael a Torah, which is Eish Das, and the Torah is so fiery and so powerful, it'll tame down the Jewish people. Then the other interpretation is not so much that the Torah is fiery, that the Eish Dos is a description of the personality of the Jews, or the character of the Jews. The Jewish people are Eish Dos. So since the Jewish people are Eish Dos, so that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom had to give us a Torah to calm us down. Ikad Yamri, the same Shalelu Eish. The character of the Jews is Eish. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom had to give us the Torah. That both versions are basically the same thing, that there's something unusual about the personality of the Jewish people, And that's where Rabbi Shalom felt compelled, that it felt that it's
but
a
the
good
other
idea.
One is better is a compliment? Will you give
no,
fire to fire?
No,
so
no.
It's not going to help fire to fire. It's not going to cool it down.
No,
not
no.
Tame it.
The first interpretation is that the Torah is described as Eish.
Yeah.
Second interpretation is that the Eishtos is the personality of the Jewish people. So Mimina, the Rabbi Shalom gave the Torah from his right hand because we have Eishtos Lomai. He gave us the Torah because we have Eishtosh, because we have this difficult nature, because we have a difficult personality. And the first shot the Gemara gave was, the Rebbe Shalom gave us the Torah, which is an Eishtos. The Torah is described as an Eishtos to tame us down. But the both shotim are the same. Yeah. The only difference between the first shot and the second shot, whether the word Eishtos is a description of the Torah, which is going to tame us down, or it's a description of our character, which has to be tamed down. But it boils down to the same thing. Shalmalei nitna Torah liYisrael. After Baruch Shalom, not given the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, and Koluma v'Loshin Yicholim Lamed Bifneim. The Jews would go conquer the whole world, and they'll make everybody crazy. Behind the Damar Shlokish Gimel Azim Heim. There are three things in the world that are very forceful, very chutzpahdik, whatever, problematic. What this memory means. One of them is Yisrael ba'umayt. All right, that's what the Gemara said. If not for the fact that the Torah was given to us, we would be very argumentative and we would go conquer the whole world. The others were not too sure what they referred to. Kelev b'chayis, the kelev, a dog, is the most chutzpahdik from all the animals in Tarnak called Boifus. We're not sure exactly what that is. It's Rashi has a problem with this. What exactly does it mean? The Yeshamim af eiz b'behemadak is also chutzpahdik. The goat is a chutzpahdik. The Yeshamim af tzlaf b'ilonis. That's a big problem. What do you mean? In Ilonis, there's a chutzpah in Ilonis. Well, Rashi and Tosfos have a problem. Exactly what's going on, they're not sure. Okay. Ashveri Gemara. Okay. Going back to Hilchas Yontif, so the Mishnah had a din that if a person shchata basada, the last line in the Mishnah, maybe we should review again. What was the first din in the Mishnah? On Kofayim and Aleph. What was the din in the Mishnah? The Behema Mesukenes. Behema Mesukenes means that Behema is Goises. And if you won't shecht it now, it's going to die, so it'll be also bahil. You have to sell it as nevela. But if you'll shecht it now, on Yom Tov, you'll be able to sell it as kosher, you'll be able to make much more money. The only thing is that everybody already ate fleshiks, and it's only half an hour before shkia. So what kind of a malach is that? It's going to shecht the beim on Yom Tov. No one's going to eat it on Yom Tov. So you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov. It's mutter to cook and bake and shecht on Yom Tov if someone's going to eat it. If Yidin are going to eat it, Yidin are not going to eat it, technically. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to shecht it unless there is enough time. If there is enough time left to eat a little bit of the flesh, you're not mechuyev to eat up the whole animal. You have to shecht the whole animal just in order to eat a kazayis of flesh also. But if there is enough time to eat a kazayis, then you're permitted to shecht the animal, even though your real goal, your real interest, not so much, you're not interested in eating the flesh on Yom Tov. He's already stuffed. He ate already. He really wants to save it to sell it on the weekdays. He should get a kosher price as opposed to an avela price. But he understands that if he's not going to eat it, so he won't be allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. So Belezberry, he's going to eat it. So the Gemara.
Does that mean that somebody
can
eat it?
Oh,
just that somebody could eat it.
Oh, so that's the machlokes. It says on the side that this Mishnah appears in Sochem Amvav. So that's machlekes Rabba v'Rav Yosef. Does it mean, as long as theoretically there is a possibility that there is enough time that someone could eat it? Because I see, even though Lamai said no one, we're not even going to try to feed it to anybody, but there is theoretically enough time, so that's enough to permit you to shecht it, because Eichel Nefesh is defined as a potential of Eichel Nefesh. You're permitted to shecht the behemah. You don't need Kavaras Agarah actually intending to eat the flesh. Eichel Nefesh means you're allowed to shecht because theoretically this could
be eaten
on Yom Tov by a Yid. This could be eaten by a Yid. Or do you say no? Echol Nefesh means you really intend the one who does the Melech. So Echol Nefesh, the Shechita, intends to see to it that some Yid is going to eat it on Yom Tov. So that's Machlekes Rabba v'Rav Yosef.
You have the same problem as Hoyel.
Hoyel, that is the issue of Hoyel. That is Hoyel. The Rabba says, Hoyel v'imikle le'achem chazilei. Since theoretically there is a possibility of someone eating it on Yom Tov, so it's not a malacha. The only problem, and Rabbi Yosef doesn't believe in Hoyel. Oh. So the question, but the Gemara says over there like this, even according to Rabba, who believes in this idea of Hoyel v'imikli le'achem chazilei, it's a fella sits and he bakes a million cookies on Yom Tov. Who's going to eat a million cookies? He's really baking the cookies for a Sheva Brachas in 2 weeks, or Bar Mitzvah in 2 weeks. or he's baking, Balabasta's baking book alach on Yontif. She has off, she doesn't go to work, she bakes 1,000 rolls on Yontif. No one's going to eat 1,000 rolls on Yontif. Theoretically, if they'll invite all the Yidden in New York City, they'll all devour.
No,
they'll eat up all the 1,000 rolls, but they're not interested in inviting everybody. She's baking it b'miyuchad for her bar mitzvah, for her shemah brachas, that's going to take place in 2 weeks. The rabbi says, min ha-teretz muta, but when the rabbanon is sustained, when the rabbanon, you do have to have kavanas agaro. So what good is it that rabbi interprets the Mishnah if there is theoretically enough time? And the yeshayis bayam lechem menekazayis, if there's enough time theoretically to eat, but rabbi holds that that's only good min ha-teretz, but when the rabbanon, you're not permitted to rely on hoyle. So the Gemara explains there what it is. Since min ha-teretz muta, it's only awesome in the rabbanon, so b'makam mitzvah, b'makam tzar gadol, you may rely, you may revert back to the din deraisa. So where do you have a case that you rely on the din deraisa? When you have Shabbos next to Yontif. So you make an air of Tavshilin, Yontif next to Shabbos, whatever. When Shabbos is on Yontif is on air of Shabbos.
Yes.
When Yontif is on air of Shabbos, the reverse, you don't make an air of Tavshilin. When Shabbos is on air of Yontif, the air of Tavshilin doesn't help. But when Yontif is on air of Shabbos, so then, if you make an Erev Tavshilin, then you're allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. And the Gemara says, why? Erev Tavshilin only works with the Rabbanon. It doesn't exist on the level of the Rais. So obviously, if with an Erev Tavshilin you're permitted to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, Minatari you're permitted to cook without the Erev Tavshilin. Why is it permissible to cook without the Erev Tavshilin? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbah, we understand why. Because Rabbah holds, since theoretically he could have eaten up all the food on Yontif, so whatever you cook on Yontif is called Echol Nefesh Minatari. But with the Rabbanon, you have to have Kavanah to eat it today, and the Balabas is cooking today, intending to eat it tomorrow. So that's only forbidden with the Rabbanon. So the Mokka Mitzvah is Mutari with the Rabbanon. Mokka Mitzvah, in order to have food cooked on Yontif, you don't want to, in order to have cooked food for Shabbos. What are you going to take out from the freezer? And you're going to have food that was cooked 2 days ago. It's better to have freshly cooked food. So we permit you with the Rabbanon to cook the food on Yontif for Shabbos. If you make an Erev Tavshilin, fine. Why is it muta? Because minatari, it's not muta to cook even on Yontif Chol. You're allowed to, because theoretically you could have eaten it on Yontif. So that's what the Gemara says there. Just like Rabbah says you revert back to the din deraisa b'makom mitzvah. So to Rabbah says he b'makom hefsid merubah. He has a behemah mesukenis. If the animal is going to die natural death, he's going to lose thousands of dollars, because this animal, he could have shechted it and made money selling it as a glat kosher. Now he's going to have to sell it as nebel. He's going to suffer a loss. So b'malkam hefsid, we allow you to revert back to the din deraisa. So just like b'malkam mitzvah, in order to have freshly cooked food, the covered Shabbos. So that's Chayei Yodam. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Chayei Yodam, writes the following chiddush. Let's say the balabasta has all of the raw flesh in the freezer. Let's say there's 2 days Yontif. 2 days Yontif in a row. Balbasta has all the raw flesh in the freezer. And then, let's say she's going to want to cook fresh food on the second day Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on the first day for the second day. So she'll cook it on the second day. Yeah, cook it on the second day. You have to defrost it first. So you can't take it out from the freezer and then start cooking it right away that night. It takes 4 hours, 6 hours till it defrosts. Let's say it's in a deep freeze. So she'll take it out on the first day Yontif. No, take it on the first day for the second day Sachana. It's not a malacha, but it's Sachana. So you're not allowed to be Meichan on the first day for the second day. So does that have a problem? What are you going to do? You're not allowed to be Meichan on the first day for the second day. So what you should do is make sure you take it out from the freezer, put it in the refrigerator on Erev Yontif, before Yontif, so you won't have to do the Sachana. But what happens if you forgot? You forgot to take it out from the freezer on Erev Yontif. So there's no way to take it out on the first day for the second day. So the Chayyadim has such a shadow. Chayyadim doesn't have a freezer with it is. He has a different case. So he says, take it out early on Yontif. Take it out as early as possible on the first day Yontif. So theoretically, you could thaw out for today. Theoretically, you could use it today in the afternoon. Yeah. So since Benatayra, I say, Halvi Mikloch Mechazile, Hashanah Mechazile, whatever, even if you would have done a malacha on Yontif, we pass like Rabbah. A malacha done on Yontif, even though the intention is clearly for tomorrow. But since theoretically, possibly, you could have possibly used it today for today, so that takes off the Issa Deraisa. So it's a Mokka Mitzvah. They want to have freshly cooked flesh for the second day. She forgot to take it out of the freezer on Erev Yontif. So B'leiz Breire, you revert back, you rely back on the Hoyle. Because Mikra Adin, we pass like Rabbah. So we say Hoyle. That the theoretical possibility of having it used on the first day is enough to be marked. The Chayyarim doesn't talk about a freezer. He didn't have a freezer. He talks about they had a wine cellar. Had a wine cellar. So let's say the Baal HaBos realizes that he's not going to have any wine for the second day Yontem. So he's going to have to go to the cellar to take out some wine. Let's say so it's hachana, just to take wine. He knows he's not going to need it on the first day.
He
already ate the Sudas Yontif in the morning, finished. And then, now he realizes he just used up all the wine. So he's going to have to get wine for the second day. So what's the problem? So let him take a candle down to the Sudas. So he doesn't have any candles to take down. He's going to have to bench Tichta on the table. So funny Hechatimtzi. Or he can't take down a candle, something like that. So he says, he's going to have to do the hachon on the first day for the second day. So das toydachnish. So he says, so try to go as early when you realize it on the first day. Try to go as early as possible, so there will be the theoretical possibility of using the wine on the first day for the first day. Mm-hmm. You have a fairish in mind not to use it on the first day, but don't wait till the last minute. You go to wait till the last minute on the first day. So obviously, it's only hachon. So try to take it out as early as possible, so there should be a theoretical possibility to use it on the first day. So that's how we paskin, like Rabbi, that the Mishnah means Yesheyes Bayom doesn't mean that actually b'pal mamish somebody has to eat a piece of flesh. No, as long as there's a theoretical possibility, there's enough time to eat a piece of flesh. You say hoyel, so the shechita was mutter. The shechita set itself up. On Shabbos there's a problem of muktzah, because Shabbos you're not allowed to cook it. So raw meat nobody eats, so it's not roi l'achil osodim, and you're not going to feed it to the behemoth. It's much too expensive. The behemoth can eat raw meat, but it's too expensive. You don't plan to feed it. Say raw potatoes also. The behemoth can eat raw potatoes, but it's too expensive to feed to the behemoth. And Bnei Adam don't eat raw potatoes. It says in the Mogen Avraham that raw potatoes is muktzah on Shabbos. But on Yontif it's not. On Yontif you're allowed to cook, so raw anything is not muktzah, because you can cook it on Yontif and it'll be roi l'achilah. So now the last line in the Mishnah has a din that leads the Gemara into a bit of a discussion of Vuv the Dechol. It says in the Mishnah, Behema HaMesukenes. Where is the Behema HaMesukenes? Probably on the farm. So the Behema HaMesukenes is easy. The ranch workers run into the city. The Baal HaBos lives in the city, and they tell him one of the behemoths is holding back his sisa. They should do something fast. So he runs out to the field and he gets a shechet and they shecht it. So what does he do? He's going to leave the flesh over there. He has to bring it into the city and put it in the freezer and do something with it. So it says in the Mishnah, Shchata Basada, if he shechted the behemoth in the field. So he wants to bring the whole thing into the city and put it in the freezer that it shouldn't get spoiled. So it says, Lo Yiviyana B'mota V'mota. They shouldn't have these big poles and carry the whole animal. Why not? You're allowed to carry it, but it's over the Dechol to carry. It looks like you're carrying it to sell it in the marketplace. That's not the way you carry food for a private person. Looks as if it's like a marisayin that they want to sell it. Rashi, what does Rashi write? You shouldn't have two people. It shouldn't be such a heavy burden that you need two people to carry it together. Why? Mishum to avshe milsehi. It's going to have too much pirsum umizalzo beyond. I think because it looks like they're going to sell it in the marketplace. So the Mishnah says, maybe you should cut it up into small pieces and you should carry it. Maybe be other way, varm, varm. People should, each person should carry a little at a time, as opposed to carrying such a big piece of an animal that you need more than one person to carry it together. So agav this Mishnah, that this is an issue of Uvda Dechol, so the Gemara is going to quote additional halachas of Uvda Dechol. So that's on Dav Chof Hamid Beis, on the second wide line. Tanu Rabbanon, it says in the Tosefta and Beitza, in Asimah Yotze Ben Maklo. Let's say a person is blind, and he needs a shtek and he needs a cane. He doesn't really need a cane to walk. He can walk without the cane, but he's a little nervous walking without a cane. If a person can walk without a cane, he's allowed to use a cane on Shabbos also. It's not called it's not considered hoitzor. It's not considered hoitzor if you need the cane to enable you to walk. So it's muta on Shabbos. But if he doesn't really need the cane, not only is it forbidden to use it on Shabbos because of hoitzor, even on Yontif, that you're allowed to carry things that are tzarach hayom tzas, a cane nisht, because this is considered over the dechol. Unless he has a special, like Achsidish Rebbe has a special shteken with a fancy handle. It's a different story. That's not an over the dechol. But if it's a plain old cane, a wooden cane, so it says you shouldn't use it on Yontif. You shouldn't use it, let's say, on Shabbos, even Tercha Erev. It's not an issue of carrying, it's an issue of over the dechol. The shepherds usually used to have, instead of having a fancy attaché case or something like that, they had a sloppy leather container that they threw in all the junk, whatever, their shoes and their clothing and the underwear, and the clean underwear, the dirty underwear. So let's say
a knapsack.
Let's say a person wants to go to shul on Yom Tov, and he's going to take his esrig, and he's going to take his lulav and a machzer and kama and talus and a whole bunch, and he's going to carry a knapsack on his shoulder. It doesn't look yantav, it looks of the dachot. So it's better to carry it in a bag, instead of carrying it in a knapsack or a tarmil. A student in school has a chveis,
a briefcase
that looks, it doesn't look yantav dik. So a bag is better. Bag is better. So you're not allowed to carry things in a tarmil because that's of the dachot. The yaitzim bikisei, and you're not allowed to have other people carry you. On a rickshaw, how do they call it?
Yeah.
A rickshaw. Echad o'ish v'echad o'ish, neither a man nor a woman. The difference is that maybe, let's say if there's a big crowd, so women will feel much more uncomfortable pushing through the crowd. So there's a greater tzorach to have a woman carried by a rickshaw than to have a man. So nonetheless, the Brisa spells out, they're both not allowed to be carried on yontif. Even on yontif, there's no issur of carrying if it's tzorach hayom k'tzas, but this is considered uv d'lechol. That's not true. The last thing, that you're not allowed to carry people on a rickshaw. He sent the following message that there was a Maisa Shoy, there was a Talmud Chacham in our neighborhood, and they used to carry him on Yontif in a special chair. And he said that it's permissible. Rabban Tzichon, if he has to give a public shiur or something like that, if the community needs him, it's mutter. The Samcha Rabbi Seino, Divrei Achi Shakya, and they relied on another scholar who said, Yomar, he testified, I personally carried Rav Huna on Yontif Hestis, where there's no Yisra of Haitzov, and ever is Letzar. On Shabbos, they're not allowed to carry him on the highway, but he carried him from one village to the other, from Shili to Hini, from Hini to Shili. There were two villages that were near each other. So you see that it is permissible. How can you tell me at the Sefta that you're not allowed to? We see different Rabbonim allowed themselves to be carried, and they carried other famous Rabbonim. I personally carried Shmuel. Mishimsha Latula, Mitula Lashimsha. He carried him from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun when he was chilly. So he would carry him in a chair into the sun. Then he was perspiring, then he carried him into the shade. He carried him out, instead of Shmuel walking by himself. So one of the Talmidim used to carry him. So you see the fairies that they used to carry him. So how can you tell me at the Sefta? You tell me at the Sefta that it says that it's an Uvda Dechol, it's forbidden. And for the Gemara, basically it is an Uvda Dechol. But every rule has an exception to the rule. So the exception to the rule is Moi Rabin Sichem Loi. That's what he says. Awesome. That case is different. Kidiyama Taima. You told yourself the story. Why? Moi Rabin Sichem Loi. He's needed to give a public shear or something like that. Then it's mutter. There was one balabos always used to go visit Eretz Yisrael. Every year he would go visit Eretz Yisrael during intercession. So he says on your way, to go to Eretz Yisrael, kisalkus lahasam, go around, go stop off in a certain village, akif vizil asaloma detzur, go in that area, and go visit Rabbi Yanke Baridi and ask him the shaila, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to carry people on a chair on Yontif or not? Is it an Uvda Dechol or not? Kisei Mayatun Dik. What do you hold about a Kisei? So this fellow only went once a year to Eretz Yisrael. By the time Eretz Yisrael got to go to Eretz Yisrael, that Rav already passed away, so he couldn't ask that Rav. But nonetheless, he did stop off in that village and he asked someone else what used to be the opinion of that Rav. Bas Flega Paskin in about this. Ado Azal Ohasam, by the time this Rav Yanke Baridi, the Shlehuzit, Rav Chama Barade, the Shliach Tzion. By the time he was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, Noch Nasha the Rabbi Yanke Baridi, that Rav had passed away, so he couldn't ask him the Shaila. So nonetheless, Kisalik, when he came to that village, Ashkechel the Rav Zreke, he found a different Rav, and he asked him, what's the din? Are you allowed to carry a person on Yontif? Kisei Mayatun Bey, what is your practice regarding carrying people on Yontif on a Kisei? The Tosefta says you're not allowed to, so he wanted to know, do we pass him like the Tosefta or not? Is it an Uvda Dechol or not? So he says, yeah, you're allowed to carry on a chair, but it depends how you carry. But you're not allowed to have a few people together, I'm going to put my arm on your shoulder, you're going to put your arm on my shoulder, and then we're going to carry the kisei on top. If I'm sitting on a chair, and then someone's going to pick me up like at a wedding. So someone picks up the chasen on a chair, someone picks up the kala on a chair. So to pick up, one person should pick up one person on a chair on yantar, that is permissible. To carry him from one place to the other, that's not an over the chol. But that a few people should hold arms together and have the chair on top of their arms, that's more of an option. That's more, so that's not allowed. That's not permissible. Hachi Amar Abami, it's permissible to carry on a chair, but provided buvad shaloi katev, you shouldn't have different people. A kasef is a shoulder, so you shouldn't have them hold. One should put his arm on the other one's shoulder, and he should put his arm on my shoulder, and he should hold the chair on top of this. This is already.
This is the teretz for the braiser. By noisim bekisei in such a manner.
If not mikatev, then it would be mutter. Megna, yeah. What does that line mean? What does it mean? That's what it means. Balunki means you're not allowed to carry an alunki. Means that the chair will be held up above the people who are holding their arms together. But we know that there was a woman, Yalta. Yalta was married to Rav Nachman. But Rav Nachman, Shavar Lo Le Yalta, he permitted his wife. The Mepak Ba'alunki, he permitted his wife to be carried in such a chair on Yantar. So he just said that you're not allowed to. And for the Gemara, she's part of the exception to the rule. Yalta is part of the exception. Why? Shiny Yalta, that was a special case, did the Iso. Because she was petrified to walk. There were apparently big crowds there, so she was afraid to walk. So they had no brewery, they had to carry her on a chair. Huh?
He was afraid of her.
So here's the problem. What does it help Shiny Yalta to be? So here, Tosis Frektakasha. What does it help that she was afraid to walk because there were such big crowds? What we just said before, it's only Mutter. So what's the Tzorchei Rabim? So she won't go. There are throngs of people going to shul. So she won't go. And for Tosis, no, she was the guest speaker. Not so she can't stay home. Either she was the guest speaker or whatever, she was the Rebbetzin, and she had to go. She was a personality, this Yalta. The Gemara tells all kinds of stories in Brachas and with the wine, yeah. And Chulin, the Gemara has all kinds of things about the Yalta. So that's what Taisus says. Shiny Yalta the Bisa effect says, but you just said it's only Mutav Rabin Sichonot. Yishleimar Dilmanami Hochot Tzorach Rabim. Why? Because her father was somebody special. She was the Bas Rosh Agola Hoysa. She was giving a public lecture, she was a public figure, she had to attend the shul. It wouldn't look nice if she wouldn't be in shul. And it was so she was afraid to walk, so mele they had no brayer. They were all elderly gentlemen, they were elderly rabbonim, and they used to carry them on their shoulders. They used to put their arms, the balabatim, put their arms on the other one's shoulders, and they had a chair. On top of exactly what you're not allowed to do, that's what they did for them. The Shabbat to the Riglam, why Mishum be Asusa? Because they're afraid to walk on their own, or they're afraid to have them carry the chair just one person. Others say that they were such big crowds, they could get pushed over, they were afraid. So it means that there was Rabbi Mtsichalot, they were giving the shear. They had to go, and they're afraid to walk, either because they may get crushed by the crowd, or they were afraid they're going to fall. So that's why they had no bravery, so they had to carry them. Whenever that's the cloud. Basically, normally it is considered a nuvda dechol to carry a person on such a kisei, even within the Erev or on Yontif when you're allowed to carry. Still, you're not allowed to because of nuvda dechol. Unless it's a rabbin sichalot, then we'll make them. Then we allow. Okay, the next Mishnah is unrelated to anything that we learned until now. Next Mishnah talks about a b'chor bizman hazeh, Rashi writes. If the cow gives birth to the firstborn and it's a zohar, so it has a kedushas korban and yemakrev et al gabi hamizbech, and it's supposed to be nechel to the kohanim. They give it to the kohanim that they should eat the flesh in Yerushalayim. It's a kachim kalim, and the flesh is nechel b'chol ho'ir to the kohanim. The kedusha v'tahara, it's a korban. What about bizman hazeh shein beis hamikdash kayam? So you cannot be makrivin in the beis hamikdash. There is no beis hamikdash. You have no brayer. So you have to wait till it gets a mum. You're not permitted to be matal mum, even though you can't be makrivin anyway. Even though ben kovakol you can't be makrivin the karbonis, but still you're not permitted to be matal mum. And a korban afilo hamatal mum lebal mum. Let's say the beim already korban already has a mum. So Ben Kovakal, you can shecht it chutz lamigdash. You're not allowed to make a second mum. The Gemara lays out from Sukkim. You're not allowed to make another mum, even though the korban already has the first mum. So the din is that there are two. All other korbanos, chatas and asham and anor and shlam. Every other korban after it gets a mum, now you can be paided. Before it gets a mum, it's impossible to be paided. And when it gets a mum kavua, even if it has a mum oiver, even if it has only a temporary mum that's going to get better by itself, he cannot be paida. Even if you paida b'riyeb, the pidyon is not chal. But if it gets a mum kavua, it gets a permanent mum, so then the halach is that you can be paida. The two karbanis in the whole wide world, there are two karbanis that if they get a mum kavua, you don't even have to be paida. It's yotze l'chulim b'li pidyon. One is b'chor, and one is ma'iser. These are the two. The psukim say mefurish. That there's no pidyon. Psukim in the end of Chumash Vayikra. So what's the din of a b'chor b'zman hazeh? What do you do? So you cannot be makriv it on the mizbech. You have to wait till it gets a mum. You cannot be matal mum. You have to wait till it gets a mum by itself. And the mum has to be a mum kavua. Who is to decide whether it's a mum kavua? So you have to know. You have to be an expert to know whether it's a mum kavua. Will it not heal by itself, or is it a mum it will heal by itself? Let's say sometimes Tosis writes in Chorus, in the middle of Chorus you have three prokim that describe what's a mum kavu, what's a mum avi. So Tosis writes there, let's say there's a mum, it will not heal by itself, but if a doctor will treat it, it'll get better. That's considered a mum kavua. Mum avi means it'll heal automatically. So even though there's a mum that if the doctor will treat it, it will get healed, that's still called a mum kavua, because it's not going to get healed by itself. So let's say you have such a mum kavua, so the halacha allows you to if it's another korban, allows you to be paida, and then if it's the bechor ha-meiser, it allows you to shecht it right away, chutz lamigdosh.
You still have to give it to the kohen or not?
Yeah, but bechor is still matnas kuna. If you makriv it on the mizbech, then it's matnas kuna, they have to eat it in Yerushalayim Kedusha v'Tahara. And if it's a b'chor ba'mum, it's still matnas kuna.
But
right.
You need it anyway.
Yeah.
But the Rav supposed became such an expert at the moment.
The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Rav spent 18 months on a farm to become an expert to learn what's a mum kavu, what's a mum ever had to hear.
He
also
didn't want
to
give smicha on that.
Yeah. And he still didn't give him the smicha. On that. Yeah. There's a special smicha, yat b'chores.
Yeah.
So the Mishnah says in b'chores that if you have a mum kavu, you're allowed to shecht, or you're allowed to be poida, or if it's a b'chor ma'aseh, you're allowed to shecht it. But you have to have, there's a din with the rabbanon, minatar, there's no such din. There's a din with the rabbanon, you have to have a psak of a chacham. Either the psak of a yochid mumche, someone who has special smicha, yat b'choris, or shlosha het yoite. Sometimes you can have three farmers that don't have any special smicha for this, it's still good enough. So the Mishnah has either shlosha, it's a little bit like hataras nandarn, but it's not at all. Just in this one nekuda, it's like that to be matan neder, either you need a yochid mumche or you need shloisha hadyoite. So that's a din min haTorah, that hataras nedarim is either with a yochid mumche or shloisha hadyoite. Bizman hazeh, we don't have any yochid mumche. One opinion in the Rishonim is the Ran and the Dorn quote. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that the yochid mumche has to have smicha. So bizman hazeh, nobody has any smicha. Right. Yishmati Yishav Moshe Rabbeinu.
I used to see the rose itself, not the nether's effect itself. Somebody wrote to it.
All by himself?
Just like that.
Wow. That's unusual. There's one balabas that keeps on assisting. He remembers the Rabbi Yemeir Bloch when he learned in Tel Yeshiva was mat in a dorm by himself. I said, you must be mistaken. I never heard of such a thing. Okay. My impression was that we don't do that.
Maybe the Rav didn't think that it was really such a netter to begin with, right?
Could be it wasn't a netter to begin with. That's also possible. I don't know.
You never saw the Rav do it.
I don't recall it all. So there's one opinion that the Yochid Mumche has to have smicha. So smicha, nobody has bizman hazeh any real smicha. We just have imitation smicha. And even the other Rishonim say that it doesn't need smicha. They say it's like one of the Yud Beis Nisiyei Hashvatim, one of the 12 Gedolei Hador. So who's going to determine who is one of the 12 Gedolei Hador? A Yochid Mumche. Because the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Matos, the dinim of Hataras Nedarim, that it's biyochid mumche, is based by Dabe Moshe Rashi Hamatus Levnei Yisrael Mezdeh Adav Hashem Tziv Hashem. What is Rashi Hamatus? The dinim of Nedarim Mishvuas applied to everybody. What does it say on Rashi Hamatus? The Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, from the Gemara. The Rashi Hamatus play a significant role in Hatoris Nedarim. That a Yochem Muncha can be Matas. And some Rishonim, the Ran and the Dharm says, some Rishonim say, only if it's one of the Rashi Hamatas, one of the 12 major Gdoli Hador of the generation. It's hard to get. That person with Smicha we don't have, and it's hard to say who's from the 12 Gdoli Hador. So it says that we usually don't have that. We don't have the Yochem Muncha today. We only have Hatoris and Dharm, Shlosh Hadyotis. So this is on the level of the Raisa, there's a din. Either Shlosh Hadyotis can be Matas and Neder, or Yochem Muncha. And here, by a Pchor, to declare that the Mum is a Mum Kavua, the Chachamim had called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein there. I said Tikkun, so I'm saying Ongechap that you have a bezin over there. But Hatoris and Dorim, there are two kinds of bezin. There's a bezin of Shloshe Hadyotos, a bezin of Yochid Mumche. So here they wanted that you should have a psak of a bezin, either a bezin of a Yochid Mumche or a bezin of Shloshe Hadyotos. So the Mishnah has a machloikes, Reb Yudin and Reb Shimon. Are you permitted to issue such a psak on Yontif? Let's say a balabas comes with a shayla on yontav, a shayla, a broken leg and a chicken, a shayla basa b'cholov. They were cooking chreis in a milchik pot. They cooked fleishik by mistake. A little bit of milk fell into the fleishik soup. So the rav is not allowed to pask in a shayla on yontav. Of course, they pask in shaylas on yontav. Well, the rabbani used to pask in shaylas of chometz on yontav Pesach, shaylas of basa b'cholov, shaylas of treifet. What's wrong with pasking in a shayla on yontav? No, but this is a machloikis. The paskin on the court, this is the machloek. What's the issue? What's the shayla involved? So Rashi writes, there are two problems. Here's the Rashi, the top of Chavav and the Aleph. The second Rashi on the top of Chavav and the Aleph. Ein zemin. So Rashi writes, the one pshad, El Levifish, Matir Biyantav, Nirikim Misakin. Oh, they correct the gear. So, oh, the Havalek Donas Adin. There's a Mishnah later, Donas Adin, Ein Donim Biyantav. Where's that? Lamed Vav, Lamed Beis. A list of miscellaneous things that are forbidden on Yontif and Kal V'chaimer on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to climb up on a tree. You're not allowed to ride on a horse. You're not allowed to row a boat on Yontif. You're not allowed to clap. You're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to clap to keep music, to keep beat. And then it says, Leid Donim. You're not allowed to get married. You're not allowed to get divorced. You're not allowed to do Yibam. You're not allowed to do Chalitza. A whole bunch of things. So one of the things is Leid Donim. What's wrong, Leid Donim? Each one has a different reason. Not allowed to climb up on a tree, may break off a branch. Each one has a different reason. Why is he not allowed to be done? It's Exer, Shem Yechtov. We're afraid that they may write down the Maskona. You're not allowed to fear on Adin Torah. The Rashi has one shot to pask in a Shaili Sevehetter. That's permissible. That you're allowed to. It's not Hashash of writing. But over here, that they should pask in on the Pchor, that it's a Mum Kavua. So that's a machlegs of Yudah Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says you're not allowed to. Ein zemin amuchen. What's wrong? Why are you not allowed to? So Rashi writes the second shad that it's donas hadin because the rabbanim mishum shvus. That's the Mishnah lamivav and base agzera shem yichtov. So why is this donas hadin and to paskan and nisa the het is nishkin donas hadin? That's the question. Or the first shot in Rashi nirikin misakin. Misakin man is one of the lamites of his malachas. So let's say there's a shiloh of treifas, and then I'm going to pass him it's not a treifah. The Balbas is going to be very relieved. Finally, very happy, very relieved. Everything is okay. So it's mamish, masak and money. Yeah. I made his day. He can eat the flesh, and he can cook, and everything is okay. So you say, you're never allowed to pass him lahokil. You're never allowed to pass him anything lahokil on Shams Yom. Everything has to be lahachmer. Because maybe going to pass him lahokil is going to be masak and money. And make life easier. The second mana, the Isa, the second mana matter is only on mana, on Kalim, then Nun Al Zakli. And the Rabbana, they introduced the second mana on Ochlim as well. Minatar, there's no such thing as the second mana on Ochlim. But with the Rabbana, there is. So whenever you pass in Lahakal, on a Basa B'chalim Shalah, on a Trefi Shalah, on a Chamit Shalah, should be the second mana, you always have to say Lachumr. No. Special din over here. Vosep is Mamishtana over here. So that's the Machlekes of Yudah and Reb Shimon. Reb Yudah says, Raimum and beyond. There's nothing wrong. Just like you can pass in on Isa the Heter, on Basa B'cholim, on Chometz, on Treifus, on Hilchus Treifus, so you can pass in on Tchor also. Reb Yudah holds that it's Mutter. He says, here, the Mishnah describes the case. The bottom line on Chof Heim and Beis. B'chor Shenofel the Bor, a B'chor Beim and Torah fell into the Bor, and it's choking over there. There isn't too much fresh air there. So Reb Yudah says, it's a big tircha to schlep the B'chor out of the Bor. So the shaila is, if you're not allowed to shecht it on Yontif, so then he holds you're not allowed to schlep it out. It's a tirchah shalal tzarach. The animal may die. What can you do? The animal will die. We're talking an animal. There is a serious question of muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who usually holds for muktzah. So why isn't it muktzah? So the Gemara says it's talking hachamas kinah. The Gemara is going to say in 2 lines, in 10 lines. Hachamas kinah. It already had a mum kavua. Already had a mum from Erev Yonta, but I didn't check to see. I didn't have a chance to see if it's a mum kavua or mum iver. So on Erev Yonta, I don't plan to eat it for Yonta. I have enough flesh. I have time next week. I'll get the expert. I'll get the Shlosha Hedyotis of the Yochin Mumche. I'll take a look to see if it's. But now it fell into the bar in the middle of Yontif. So if I'm allowed to, if it's a Mum Kavua and you're allowed to Shecht it, I'd like to bring it up and Shecht it. And I want to leave the behemoth there in the bar. It can choke from the lack of oxygen, from the Hevel, yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to bring the Bchor up. You have to send the Mumche down. Yerina Mumche v'yirem yesh. Let the expert, the Yochid Mumcha, go down into the bar and see if it's a Mum Kavua. If it'll paskin that it's a Mum Kavua, which is permissible to paskin on Yontif, so then we're allowed to bring it up. Yesh Mumum, if it's a Mum Kavua, Yale, then they're allowed to schlep up the behemoth. That's part of the Heter of Echon Nevish v'yishchot. Vim lav, but if the Mumcha sees that it's not a Mum Kavua, lo yishchot, then you're not allowed to shech. I think Mori asked Pshit, of course you're not allowed to shech. If it doesn't have a mum kavua, then he said there is a shchut echut. Of course, you're not allowed to shech. Morris says no. It means it had a mum from erev yontif, and the expert goes and he looks at that and he says that's not a mum kavua. But now it broke its leg when it fell into the bar. Now for sure it's a mum kavua. Yeah, but on the mum kavua that happened in the middle of yontif, that's muktzah, because the animal on erev yontif didn't have that. The animal had a different mum on erev yontif. So you got to see if that mum that it had on erev yontif was a mum kavua. So then it's a glowing Muslim affair. The animal was not muktzah in Bod Yom. But if in that mum that it had from Erev Yontif was a mum aiver. But now that it fell into the bar, broke its leg, so now it has a mum kavua. So that you're not allowed to shech based on that, because the animal was muktzah in Bod Yom, and Rabbi Yehuda l'shita also holds from muktzah. So Nachamol, so the Rabbi Yehuda holds roye mum in b'yontif. You're permitted to paskin lahakil. And a b'chor beima toyrif, if the mumche goes down into the bar, yerid a mumche v'yirid. The mumche climbs down the ladder, he goes into the bar, and he sees. If he sees that it has a mum kavua, so he's permitted to paskin that it's a mum kavua. There's no iser, and then you're permitted to be matriach to schlep the animal up and to shecht it and everything.
So
is
yesh okay. Mum means that it was the mum from before.
Yeah, this mum that had an erev yonta was in truth a mum kavua. Rab Shimon says you're not allowed to paskin on a mum on yonta. Rab Shimon.
What's missing is just the psakaloka. We knew before that it was a mum.
To eat this behemoth anyway, I have enough flesh.
So you're not allowed to establish it to Yontif.
So the Reb Shimon paskin, Reb Shimon holds against Reb Yehuda. You're not allowed to paskin on this on Yontif. Reb Yehuda holds you up in Roya Mumin Beyontif, and Reb Shimon holds in Roya Mumin Beyontif. That's the basic machlekes. The basic machlekes is there anything wrong? You're permitted to paskin on Chometz on Pesach, you're permitted to paskin on Basim Chol, you're permitted to paskin on Treifus. So Reb Yehuda says, so you're permitted to paskin on a Mum also. If the mum developed on Yontif, it'll be muktzah. No one ever dreamt it didn't have a mum on Erev Yontif, then it's going to be muktzah. But Meretach had a mum on Erev Yontif, we just never checked it, we never looked at it to ascertain whether it's a mum kavua, mum aiver. So today on Yontif, we see that it's a mum kavua. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're permitted to paskin on Yontif that it's a mum kavua. It's a psak, like Basa B'cholav, you're allowed to paskin. Rabbi Shimon says no. Basa B'cholav, you're allowed to paskin, and this is an Isser. Why? Either because Nirikim is Sakin, Rashi has two pshatim within Reb Shimon. Either Nirikim is Sakin Mona, it's Misakin Mona with the Rabbanan, or Nira, or it's Donis Hadin, it's considered the Din. Zerishem Yichtov. Why? What's exactly the Machloikas? So that's. Huh?
Is it like
Rias Negoyim, yeah, like Rias Negoyim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. By Negat Saras is the one and only Tumah where it doesn't happen by itself. Let's say a Zav, a Balkari, a Nida, all the other Tumas.
If it has
the person has the Tumah, you go ask a Shaila, it's going to come out that he was Tumah all along. The one and only Tumah that you have to have a Psak, and before you have a Psak, that's Negat Saras. And you have to have a Kohen who paskins, the man is Tumah. He calls man the Kohen, doesn't paskin, he remains Tumah. So that's a din on the level of the raisa. See, here there's a, by a mum, on the level of the raisa, if the thing has a mum kavua, let's say the pchor, it doesn't even need any pidyon. Pchor maisa don't need any pidyon. So if it has a mum kavua, it's mutar automatically to shecht it. But with the rabbanon, they said you're not allowed to. You have to have a psak of the yochid mumcha de shlosh ad yotis. So this is a machlekes Rab Shimon and Rab Yudah. What is the nature of that chumr mit the rabbanon that you must have a psak before you shecht it?
But the finding is negative, so it's not masakin.
If he paskins that the mum is a mum oiver, that you're allowed to paskin the chumr, that's any time. Yeah, the paskin the chumr, that's not a problem. The paskin the kula, that's the shayim. So that's a machlekes Rab Yudah Rab Shimon. So Rab Yudah says, it's the same as Basa B'cholov, except that here there's a special din. You have to have either three head yoytis or yochem mumcha paskin. But it's the same. You're allowed to paskin on yontif. Rab Shimon apparently holds not. Rab Shimon holds that the nature of the chumra mid the rabbanon that you need a bezn of shloshi head yoytis or yochem mumcha is that we treat it as if the mum heis nishke mum until you have the official approval, the psak, that it's a mum. It's as if mikana lahabod, the bezn gives the psak. So now it's called the Chalashem Balmum. Until now it had a mum on the level of the Raisa. There is no such thing. If it's a Balmum, it's a Balmum. You're allowed to shecht the Chutz Lamigdosh. But the Bchor Maisa that you don't need pidyon. You're allowed to shecht it. But with the Rabbanon, they made a requirement that you need a Psak, and the Psak is considered as if it makes a Psak Mikana Lahabo. Mikana Lahabo, the Psak makes it like the Tumas Tsaras. That it's totally by Miris HaKoyin. So here Reb Shimon holds that the Psak is only Mikana Lahabo. That's why the Gemara has the following machlokes. Let's say there was a mum kavua, and the farmer didn't bother to show it to a yochid mumcha, and he didn't show it to shlosh yotis. He just went ahead and he shechted it, finished. And then they told him, "Hey, brother, what did you do? You shechted it. You're not allowed to eat it." So now the animal is dead already. He already shechted it. Now he goes and he gets the three head yotis to look at the dead animal to paskin whether the mum. It was broken. A leg was missing. Let's say. So now they'll paskin, absolutely, a broken leg, that's a mum kavua. So will that help? Can you have the shloshe at yotis of yochem mumcha come after the fact that he already shechted it? So the Gemara says there is some mumim where it'll change after death, that you may make a mistake, and maybe if they would have looked at the animal while it was alive, they would have realized it's a mum oiver, and now it looks mistakenly like a mum kavua because the animal is dead. So if it's that kind of a mum that it's a judgment call, then you may make a mistake. So of course you cannot see the mum after the animal is dead. Meretach, it's a mum kavua. It's 100% crystal clear that this was a mum kavua before. No two ways about it. So that's the Gemara says that's machlekes Rab Yudah Rab Shimon. According to Rab Yudah, you can even be roya as a mum after the animal is geshachten already. L'chatchil, it's not proper. The farmer's not allowed to have a sheichet shech the animal. The farmer sees as a mum kavua, he goes and he calls the sheikh. No, that's the whole takanas chacham. You shouldn't do that. You should first have a psak. But let's say he violated the din. He shechted it already. But then he gets a chacham, yochid mumcha, the shlosh to look at it. So once he looks at it, he says, Glory Muslim Afreya, it was always a mum kavua from the time. It's not mikana labo. So according to Rabbi Yudah, holds Yeroyan mumim beyantiv, there's nothing wrong. It's the same as paskin and shaylam basa b'cholav and in treifus and in chametz. So you can paskin on the mum. So the psak is going to be chal. Milim Afreya from the time that the mum developed. Masheni came to Rab Shimon holds is not going to help. With the Rabbanon, the requirement for the Bezin to paskin is if it's like Negat Saras, as if it's Mikana Labo, that the Bezin has to declare that the mum is a Chalashem mum, not Stam has a mum Oiver, a mum Kavua. The Bezin has to declare that it's a mum, and before they declare, even though it's a mum Kavua, it doesn't count. So if you already shechted it, and then after it's dead, then you're going to have the chacham paskin. The psak of the chacham only works in the kana labo. So can't keep shim, and you cannot be royin as a mumin after the animal is already geshach.
It's already too mikulah. But he says royin.
I can't keep it as muktzah. So the Gemara says because here it had a mum before yontif, and we knew that it may or may not be a mum kavua. We just didn't bother to look at it.
Rabshim does not hold mixed, but yes. It says
here it's the opposite from the way it usually. Yeah. Rashi and Tais point does the opposite. Usually, if it's a shayla of mukta, so viewed is the one who's machmer, and mukta Rabshim is the one who's makom. And here it's fakirat that what? There's a double shayla here. The basic machlekes in the Mishnah really is whether raya mumim biyantiv or ain raya mumim biyantiv. The Rabbi Yudah holds raya mumim biyantiv. So look at a mum, it's the same as paskining on Basa B'chol, the same as paskining on Hilchas Treifus. So you paskin on a mum, the same thing. It's not donas adin, and it's not nirikim misakin. It's not that the psak is chal mikana labo, as opposed to Reb Shimon, who holds that the psak is only chal mikana labo midirabonim. And I'll tell you, there is no such thing. That's the main machlokes. But then Taisus points out, why does Reb Shimon use a lashon kol shein mumen nikim about yom ein zolazakin ein roya mumen biyad? Why does he say ein zemin amuchan? What does he throw in ein zemin amuchan? So you see, obviously ein zemin amuchan means that it's muktzah.
Yeah, and he doesn't hold muktzah.
Usually he doesn't hold mukta, but here he's masking that it's mukta, because if it didn't have a mum, if he didn't look at it,
it's like roigeris in this case. Like
since you're not allowed to pass in mum in the yontif, so mibod yom. If mibod yom before yontif, you didn't have a chacham look at it yet, and you know that on yontif, no one's allowed to pass
it. So what was it? What was the status of this behemoth?
It was mukta like rugas and simukim. It's impossible that it's ever going to straighten out on yontif beheta.
Yeah. The only way. Can hold mukta. What was it?
No. Sometimes he holds mukta. So he holds usually. Yeah. No, he doesn't hold for mukta machmas iser either. He holds that whenever oichlim and kelim amucham nealem bad lachazman, if there is a foreseeable lachazman, but over here it's impossible to have an heir of yontif. I can foresee that the mum that it has will be declared by a bezna or yochem mumcha to be a mum kavua. No one's allowed to paskin on yontif. It's an iser of donas adin and nirikim misakin. So since no one's allowed to paskin from the perspective of bein hashmashes of chilus ayontif, doesn't look like it's ever going to straighten out in the course of the day. It can't straighten out because according to his opinion, you're not allowed to paskin on it. So even if a yochem mumcha or shloshat yotis would give a psak, it's not going to help because ein zemin amuchan. That's what Tosis adds on. The basic machlekes of Yerushalayim Shimon is whether roi mumen beyontif. But the reason why the Mishnah presented it in this funny way is to add on another knetch within Rabbi Yehuda. We didn't get to that yet, and to add on another knetch within Rabbi Shimon. So the additional knetch in Rabbi Shimon is that not only are you forbidden to be roi in a mumen, even if b'di'evit someone went and violated the din, it's going to be muktzah ein zemin amuchan, even b'di'evit. Not only have they violated the din of Donas Adin, and you're not allowed to be Roy Mumin, it'll be Mukta also, because from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, it doesn't seem that there is going to be any Lachazman in the middle of Yontif that is going to be Mukta.
If the status is undefined, it's told the Tzak, that in the Tzak is Matir, we said it's Nirak Matakin, so it's not allowed. Why don't we say that if the
Tzak
is Matir, it's something like
Nirak Kososa? Like a little distance.
No, it's already. I think it's already awesome. Whenever you have a pchor, it's a carbon. So you're not allowed to shecht the chutz lamigdash. Automatically, it's awesome. Until you have, it's becheskas isa. Beim bechaya becheskas isa. So here, a pchor beim pchor is
pchor.
Huh?
It's becheskas pchor.
It's becheskas pchor. It's becheskas isa. Until you're going to have the bezin paskin.
It wasn't completely undefined.
Yeah, before it got the mum, for sure it was us. Then it developed the mum. We don't know whether it's a mum kavum or mummy. So if we don't know, it remains becheskas isa. We suffic. You're not allowed to shecht it. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara asks right away. Frag the Gemara. But my comment from the beginning: what's b'shteik the machlokes? What's the nekudas of machlokes? So basically, the machlokes is whether roi mum and beyond the bay roi mum beyond the. The paskin on a mum on a pchor pemtar. What's the nature of the din midirabbanon that you have to have a psak of a yochin mum chashloshiat yotis? Is it the same as Vasa Becholov and Trefus? You need a psak, but the psak is really chal melam afreya, and you can even give the psak after the animal was nishchat already. They shech the animal, we paskin later. It'll turn out that everything was okay. Or do you say, no, the nature of the psak is like Rias Negoim. That the Rabbanu said it's only Mikam al-Gabba. So basically, that's the main issue of the machlokes. But the Gemara says, so why did they becloud the machlokes? Why do you have to give such a long, complicated story? He says, Menamuchon. Everything throws you off. So the Gemara says, "E name, or if you should say that the nekudas amachleikis is b'roi mumin kamifligi, does it amachleikis the rabbiutas of b'roi mumin beyontiv? It's permissible to paskin on a mum like you can paskin on trei for the Rab Shimon Saver. Ain't roi mumin beyontiv? This is the machleikis. So why don't they say so? V'liflug b'roi mumin diyalma? Why do you give such a complicated case? Zog a normal case, but the roi mumin beyontiv ain't roi. So it must be that is true. That is the main crux of the machlokes. But there's some more icing on top of the cake. So the Gemara says, why didn't they say the normal case? Live lugu b'roi mumin the alma. Give a normal case with the roi mumin.
Some an animal, whether it's kosher or not, you can say about another animal also roi mumin. Let's say not
treifer.
Yeah.
No treifer. They all agree
is mutter. He would be allowed.
Paskin and treifer. Everybody's masking that is mutter. Homachleg is only as a roi mumin. The Gemara says, Tazog, you have an animal. Why do you have to throw the animal in the boat?
Yeah.
Have the animal on top. And have a machlekes, but the roi mumin. The Gemara says, yeah, that's one machlekes, but we throw in the additional cases. There's a little knetch added in Rab Yehuda, a little knetch added in Rab Shimon. The basic machlekes is by the roi mumin. The additional knetch in Rab Yehuda is about climbing down and bringing the animal up. One might have thought that what's the whole lisa to schlep the animal up? Tircha shalolatzar. They might have thought mishum tzabalechayim. Why should you leave the animal down? Maybe you should permit the tirich of schlepping the animal to the top. Mishum tzabahem should allow it because of the possibility that it may turn out that it'll be a mum kavua. It may turn out that maybe the suffix itself should be enough to allow you. So that's when the Mishnah tells you, no, you're not allowed to bring it up. Yerin amum chaviyira. Let the expert climb down. Climbing down the ladder is much less of a tirich than schlepping up the baby. Amen. Let the expert climb down. And if it's not going to have a mum kavua, then you're not allowed to schlep the animal up. But then the Gemara asks, why does it say, and then the Mishnah is a little shver. Then it says, continues, Im yesh bo mum, yala v'yishchot. If it sees that it's a, if you see the expert sees that it has a mum kavua, then you're allowed to schlep up. In lab, if the expert says it doesn't have a mum kavua, so it should say, lo yale. It should say, lo yale, not lo yishchot. Lo yishchot is the chanisa deraisa. Lo yishchot, if it doesn't have a mum kavua, fashtetzach lo yishchot.
Why do you mean it's the yale? Why can't he shaft it on the board?
If it doesn't have a mum, he can shaft it.
Some it's uncomfortable to shaft it in the board. No. He has to be able to negotiate. He has to move around when you shech the bein.
Yeah, but they'll have to bring it up anyway. So not to bring it up and it's a balchai. Then yeah. it's to bring it up and it's dead.
Yeah.
And so it's better to bring, if he has to bring it up to shech the need, he may still bring it up and it's still
alive. Well, it's alive, yeah. But the Gemara asks, if the reason why the Mishnah gave this complicated case is to tell me the added kinech within Rab Yehuda, that you're not allowed to be malda, one might have argued, how does the Gemara say? Let them argue, let Rabbi Reb Shimon argue a normal case with the Roy Mumin beyond the Manad. Why do you have to becloud the case to go in a case with fell in the bore? Everything more name, that's the added knesh that we want to tell you. Pchoshen off of the bore, it's Tzvichle. I want to tell you that Tzalkadai Techamina, one might have thought, the animal is the suffering away there. Tzalkadai Techamina, Mishim Tzabalichayim, Lerim, Veleske, we should permit you to do a Shtikl Ha'aram, to bring the shore up from the bottom of the board, so based on the possibility that maybe it'll turn out that it'll be a mum kavua, and maybe you'll be allowed to shecht it. Why should you send the expert down and then hear the bad news that it's a mum oiver, and then not allowed to bring up the board? Behave it.
You have some possibility that you're allowed to bring it up.
Yeah, there is a svar ki Rabbi Yeshua, as Rabbi Yeshua says later in the Mesichta, that we allow you, Mishum Tzabalachayim, we allow you to bring up a Osevi Ezmanol fell into a boar on Yontif. So you can't, and they're both choking away there in the boar. So you can't shech them both on the same day as the Chanisa Deraisa Osevi Ezmanol. So he allows you to do a haroma. Schlep one of them up and say, I want to eat it. And then after you schlep it up on top, then you say, I change my mind, maybe I want to shech the other one. So he allows you to do an outright haroma because of Tzabalachayim. So one might have thought over here also, maybe you should allow it. So that's the added knetch within Rabbi Yehuda. He says no. Yerid amum chaviyira. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Yeshua.
What's the problem with the chayv? You get the second one out of the board.
No.
Here in this case, there's only one in the board. Yeah, there you're gonna want to get them both out of there.
To get them both out of the board.
Both out of the board. They shouldn't be choking away in such an uncomfortable position. Nebuch in the bottom of the board. Yeah. So one might have thought over here, mishum tzabal chayim. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would be matir to schlep them up, like Rabbi Yeshua says later. Kamash Malan, that you're not allowed to schlep up. That's the added knetch within Rabbi Yehuda. That's why the Mishnah gave the complicated case of Choshen off of the board. They didn't give you the simple case of what the Roya Mumin beyond the Varein Roya Mumin beyond. Craig the Gemara said, so then the Mishnah said, so then the Iker emphasis is on Bimlav, and if the Mumche says that it's not a Mum Kavua, it says Lo Yishchot. No, then it say Lo Yala, not Lo Yishchot. If the Iker emphasis is that he doesn't permit you to be Malah, so you wrote the punchline is no good. Davshtein vim lav, and if the mumcha sees that it's not a mumkavua, davshtein lo yala, you're not allowed to schlep it up. Why does it say lo yishcha? Lo yishcha is pshita. If it has a mum oiva, of course you're not allowed to shech.
But I just said, if you already do it, what kind of role can you do? You already know that it doesn't have a mum. You went into the bar,
okay, that you're not allowed to be mala without a harama. You can argue the point. Rabbi Yeshua's case happens to be with a harama. Here, if you didn't look yet, if I didn't look yet at the mum, so there's a shtikal harama, maybe it'll turn out to be mut. Even if I looked at it and I see that it's a mum oiver, which doesn't permit me to be shechted, I can still say mishum tabalechai. Maybe you're permitted to do the tiyuch shalot tzorech to save the animal from the tabalechai. So the eager emphasis should really be that lo yale, not lo yishcha.
But is there any chiyuv that he's not allowed to look to see if there's a mum before he takes it out?
Yeah, Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to schlep it up. He doesn't permit you to schlep it up based on the sophic possibility that maybe it'll turn out to be a mum or kubu. That's not enough of a consideration to be mata disisa tircha on yontif, correct? Correct. So the Gemara says, Avada, that's what Rabbi Yehuda said already, that you're not allowed to schlep it up. That's what he said. Why does it say lo yishcho? Lo yishcho means, of course, pshita lo yishcho. The Gemara, lo tzvicho, diova v'yaske. We're talking about a case that he did schlep it up already, and he's telling me the chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda tells me a chiddush that you're not allowed to shechter. In fact, Gemara, you're not allowed to shechter?
Sure.
It's the chatamhu. Of course you're not allowed to shechter.
Yeah,
it's an isa deraisa.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a mum kavua, it only has a mum oifer.
Yeah.
So Gemara, lo tzvicho, that a mum kavua happened in the middle of Yontif. Mum kavua happened in the middle of Yontif. What good is that? But Rabbi Yehuda holds from muktzeh. So the beginning of Yontif, it didn't have any mum kavua. Gemara says, no, but on the beginning of Yontif, it had a mum. It had a mum. We never bothered to see whether it's a mum kavu mum oiver. The sacha daita hamina, that since daita yilabe, the balabhaimim has in mind, if it's going to turn out that it will have a mum kavua, he has in mind to shecht it. As it turned out, that mum that it had on the Erev Yontav was only a mum oiver. But in the middle of Yontav, it broke a leg. Mamish is missing a leg now. When it fell into the bar, it broke a leg. Tzar Balachayim is a machlokes in the Gemara if it's a din deraisa or not. There are two kinds of Tzar Balachayim. One Tzar Balachayim is that I am mitzayir the Balchay. That's more chomer. Then there's another case of Tzar Balachayim. The animal is in pain. Am I allowed to just sit by and let the animal suffer? Or do you say Tzar Balachayim deraisa? You have an obligation to do something about it. So the Gemara never talks about the first Tzar Balachayim, about me causing pain to the animal. Mustama, that for sure is the nisa deraisa. Yeah, that's a nisa rachzarius. Mustama, that for sure you're not allowed to do. But the machloikis that the Gemara has, where the sabacham deraisa, the behemah fell into a boar and
on a masa on a behemah. No, oivas tachas masua. You know.
Yeah, that's in other words, the behemah is always used for carrying burdens, so that's not a problem of sabacham. But now the behemah collapsed.
Right.
Behemah collapsed. So the Torah says that Ozav Tazav Ima, I have to help out the other fellows. So that's the Machlokes HaTanoim in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Is that a din mein Adam Lachaveiroi? If Yen is a Yid, if it's a Yid, I have to help him Gnilas Chesed, it's a Yidin. What if the Baal HaBehem is a Nachri? I have no Shibud bein Adam Lachaveiroi to help the Nachri. But maybe it's a bit Rachmanis on the Behem. Forget about the Nachri. It's Rachmanis on the Behem, it's a Baal HaChaim. So the Gemara says, if you all Tzar Baal HaChaim deraisa, that means that even if I am not mitzah, I am not the cause of the tzar to the behemah, I didn't initiate the pain. The animal is nebuch in pain. It doesn't matter who the owner of the animal is. If I have the yicholti to alleviate the pain, that's a chi of deraisa that you have to resolve that issue. But if you're tzar balachayim lav deraisa, it means you're not allowed to be mitzahir abehemah, fashtetzah. You're not allowed to torture any balchai. But if the animal is in a state of pain, which is not your fault, it's not part of your responsibility. If a human being is in pain, you have a chiyuv to help out.
If it's all right, so then why is Tircha?
Take it away.
Because
you're not mitzayir the Baruch Hai. Because here, in the Nuchal Abor, you're not mitzayir the Baruch Hai.
Yeah.
He wants to say that even Stam is also the Reis. So how
the Gemara has a machlek as well as Samchan. No, we still have Yeshkech Yachacham Lagdav and Atar B'Shevi Al Tase. Look, the Chachamim prohibited an Isser of Tircha, and Atar there's no Isser Tircha. But the Rabbanu, they ask a Tircha. So they ask a Tircha, even if it means that you will be negligent in fulfilling your mitzvah. Not that you're doing an Aveira. There's a mitzvah to do whatever you can to help the animal to remove all of the suffering and the pain from the animal. So on a weekday you're mechuyev to do it, and on Shabbos and Yontif it'll be korach b'isurim, but chil Shabbos the rabbanon, so you're not allowed to do it. Not allowed to do it. The Gemara has in Masechah Shabbos discussions. If it's only going to sometimes some tanoim hold, if it's only going to be an isa de rabbanon that you're going to violate, then sometimes they do permit you to violate an isa de rabbanon. Welcome to Tzav Balachayim. But muktze, but removing the muktze from the animal. So that's how the Gemara interprets the machlekes over here.
Also, if an animal comes in, comes home on Shabbos and has a masa on it, hard to take it off. No, if it's a mukz,
if it has mukz, the gazach,
so you should untie the string and let it fall down.
Less, it's going to break. Vatol kli mechana is an isa de rabbanon. Right? The Gemara talks about that. So that is the machlokes ha-tanoim. Okay. The Gemara goes right on the same hemshech, on the same topic. Tana Rabbana, the Gemara continues with the braisa. Chor tam shenafel lebor. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi omer. So Rashi is quick to point out.
When he's more involved with the braisa and we anticipate, does that mean that he's anticipating that the animal will get a new mom? Or does it mean that
The first mum may turn out to be a mum kavua. Yeah. So even if it turns out in Mitzvah the original mum was not a mum kavua, but as it fell into the bar, broke a leg, and now for sure there is a mum kavua. But you can't say that it's outright muktzeh, because he can argue the point. He had in mind that may turn out he may be eating it on Yontif. May turn out that the mum that I had before Yontif was a mum kavua. Right. There is more machmas, so that's what Tosis points out, that here Reb Shimon holds Ein Roi Mum in the Yontif, so looking from the perspective of Erev Yontif, it's impossible to ever straighten out on Yontif. But I'll leave it Reb Yudah that Roi Mum in the Yontif, so from the, so it's okay, so there's no problem, so it's a shayla, like paskening on Basa B'chola, right? That's what the long Tosis points out, the Tosis on Chavav and Al, the top Tosis, the first here, the Tosis starts over here, Chofei Mibbeis. Yeah. Nearly, they go out and on, they go till 6-7 lines on the top of Chavav. Ad Kampirish Rashi. First, they just quote Rashi. And then they touch it up a little bit. And then it comes out, the pshat that we, like we explained, that the machlegs of Reb Shimon is basically whether Roy Mum and Beyond or not. Is it the same as paskining on a trefa? Or no? It's like Rias Negoim. The Rabbanon, they declared that it's like Rias Negoim. Then the Gemara continues and quotes a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi appears. Rashi says the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, that's not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that's Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Eloi. Whenever it says Stam, whenever it says Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon by Yehoi, the one who wrote the Zohar. It doesn't have to say Rabbi Shimon by Yehoi. That's always Rabbi Shimon, is Rabbi Shimon by Yehoi. Whenever it says Rabbi Yehuda, there were many Rabbi Yehudas. Whenever it says Rabbi Yehuda Stam, doesn't say his father, is Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that's Rabbi. That his father was Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That's a different time. It's a different person, not the same. So what he says in the Braisa doesn't correspond to what Reb Yehuda says in the Mishnah. That's what Rashi points out. Tana Rabbanon, it says in the Braisa, B'chor tam shenofel lebor, Reb Yehuda al-Nasi omer, Yerid ha-mumcha v'yirim, Yesh b'mum yala v'yishchad, Mamash ha-b'chor tam. Not like Reb Yehuda is talking in the Mishnah, it had a mum, and an Erev Yontif, we don't know whether it's a mum kavu, mum oiver, and if the Chachma sees that it was a mum kavu, mebo yom is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi denies that. He says, even Mami, we know it had no mum at all on Erev Yontif. He's more matir than Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. He's more mekel than everybody.
What's the difference of the says a mum and not? Oh, because of those, of course.
Yeah, it was all Becheskas Easter. And from the perspective of Erev Yontif, we don't see any likelihood at all that you'll ever be able to teach this on Yontif. And nonetheless, he says, we broke a leg in the middle of Yontif, you can ask a shayla and paskin that it's a mum kavua, and you can shecht it on Yontif. He's the biggest maker. Rabbi Yonasi is the biggest maker. Erev amum chav yiri, yirias mum in Yontif is mutav yesh mum yalav yishchot shayn. Vim lav, lo yishchot, yef ashtetzach, lav lo yishchot yinar lav.
Only lo yishchot, but how about to be make a luon, he doesn't speak about, right?
No, I think that's what it means also, halor. Halor is also not allowed.
Not allowed?
Not allowed, no. In love, it means, and even if you were malet, you're not allowed to shecht it. One shot, even a gadamon, because as a penalty, because you violated the Issa halor. But it means you're not allowed to be malet. Okay. So again, so Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, The Rias Mumin Beyontif is Mutter, okay. But he's even a bigger Mekel. He even allows. Even if it didn't have a mum at all on Erev Yontif. Only if you had a mum over and you had a mum and you don't know what the nature of the mum. It didn't have a mum at all on Yontif. Mamish a b'chor tam. It developed a mum on Yontif. He says, not concerned about the mukta at all. That's in disagreement with both Tanaim in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudah Nasi is a bigger Mekel than both of them in the Mishnah. Against Rabbi Shimon. Amalar Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, that's not Rav Shimon Tanam. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah is Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Amalar Rav Shimon ben Menasseh disagrees with Rav Yudah Nasi. So he says, what do you mean? Hari Yomra, the din is like Rav Shimon, and ain't right moment beyond him. You're not allowed to. And even if it had, and he says, Ketzat, even if it had a mum on Erev Yontif, you don't know whether it's a mum or a mum kavua, also not allowed to. Even in such a case, also not allowed. Ain't Barakanos beyond. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here, we'll continue next.
We're talking about the Messiah. We're talking not about the Messiah.
Yehuda Messiah is sometimes the term that we refer to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Messiah. Same thing, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But usually that's the Aramaic form of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So usually they refer to the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi's grandson is known as Rabbi Yehuda Messiah. He was later. He was in the days of Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish.
Many.
A lot of Rebutas. They kept on giving the same names. In the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, the Chumash describes the way Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end of Parshas Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu is complaining to the Rabbeinu Shalom, he sent me as a shliach to bring the Geula. He made things worse. So the Rabbeinu Shalom gets angry at him. So he says, it's a very difficult pasuk, Vaydaber Elikim. El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vavke. First he says Elikim, and then he says Ani Hashem, Yud Kei Vavke. Why does it switch in the middle? And he gives him Techocha. Vayomer Elav, Ram Elitzchel, Yankel, Dekel, Shakai, Yishmi Hashem, Lena, Daiti Elohem. And you have tainus. The obvious, Chaval Avdi Avdim, Veloi, Mishtakhen, there were such tzaddikim, Avram, Yisrael, they never questioned me. And you're questioning. So he's giving him Techocha. So that's why it says Vaydaber Elikim. Vayidablakim is midas adin. The Rabbeinu Shalom said he's angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean? Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem? What kind of a lashon is Ani Hashem? Yud Kei Vavke. So the Medrash has a comment on this pasuk. It's also a strange Medrash. The first Medrash on Vayera quotes a pasuk. Hado dichsiv a pasuk in Koheles. Ufanisi ani liros chokma vahelulus v'sichlus. Ki ma ha'odim shiova achari hamelach es hasher kvar asu. So the Medrash says the Melech, the people are questioning what the Melech did. The Melech is the Melech Malchei Hamelachim Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the people who are questioning, they pick on two people, Shlomo HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu, that they question the ways of God, and they did wrong. Hapasuk hazeh nemar al Shlomo v'al Moshe, that these are the two people with their intelligence and with their chokhmah and with their wisdom. They were questioning the drachim of the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Adam Shirov Achri HaMelech. As Hashem Kvar Asu, Rabbeinu Shlom said what he wants and what he thinks of. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu? What's Shlomo HaMelech and what's Moshe Rabbeinu? So Shlomo HaMelech is, it's the Rabbeinu Shlom gave special mitzvahs to the Melech. One of the mitzvahs is Layabra like
Susim.
Noshim, Layabra like Susim, and then Layabra like Kesav is of Layabra, Layabra like Noshim, Layasa is Levavoy. He outsmarted the Rabbeinu Shalom. He said the whole reason for the mitzvah is, but I'm so smart, I'll marry as many wives as I want and nothing will happen. So he married, and the pasuk says hitu noshav hitu es levavoy. So the yud of the word layarba lo noshim, the yud came to complain to the Rabbeinu Shalom. How does it say? Also yud, shebiyarbe, the yud of the word layabla nashim, minishtatcha, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kneeled in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, is complaining, Rabbeinu Ha'ilamim, lekach amarta, einoiz betelem en ater li'olam, he's throwing out the yud. So the Mepharshim have difficulty, what's that is the yud? Layabla, he's throwing out the whole mitzvah.
That's right,
yeah. Why only the yud came to complain? So some of the Mepharshim say, the yud is the smallest letter in the whole alphabet. So, even that's it. Afilo oisktano, that was the complaint. Rabbeinu Shalom, you promised even oisktano will never be bottled from the Torah. Ain ois betel min haTorah liyolam. And here he's throwing out the whole pasuk. Not only the yud, he's throwing out. That's how some of Farshim said. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole drasha on this. I don't remember. He must have said it over the name of maybe he said it in the name of another darshan. I don't remember. So he said, why only the yud? So he suggested another mahalach. And what's that? This Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Ketzer nemar along arichas on Shloimeh Hamelach. And then it continues on Moshe Rabbeinu. Ketzer nemar Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he do? See, the Rebbeinu Shlomo already told him Shloi Anichos in Paralelech. The Rebbeinu Shlomo already told Moshe Rabbeinu that it's going to be bitter. He's not going to have Yitzias in time. As it says, Shnei Mavani Adaiti Kiloit and Es Chemelch in time Laloch Vani Achazek Es Libo. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo already told him in advance it's not going to be so quick the Yitzias in time. So what is he belly aching? What is he? Moshe Loi Shomer Es Hadover As El Abol Hischak Emon. He says he wants it now.
Yeah.
Wants it. The Rebbeinu Shlomo told him it's going to take a long time. So what is he demanding that he wants it now? So these are the two people whom the Rebbeinu Shlomo is complaining against them. So what's up with the shaykhis between Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech violated an avera. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't violate a pasuk. What's the connection? Why the yud? So the Rav gave a whole drasha. So he said there's a pasuk in the end of the Shalach when it has about Amalek. So the pasuk says Yod al Kesh Kol Muhammad Hashem Amalek Nidor Dor. The Rashi quotes from the Mechilta. Why does it say case ko? Let it say kisei yud kei vavkei. So the Chazal have a comment. Ein a kisei shalom, ein a shem shalom, ashi moch zara shalom olam. So the kisei, ein a kisei shalom means the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shlom really has full control of everything that goes on in the world. If he wants, he can do whatever he wants to. But kozman that you have a molik in the world, you have tzarek v'ra l'ra shalom v'tava. It looks ge'ilu. The perception is, ge'ilu the Rebbeinu Shalom is unable to function. If he's able to function, let him do something. So it looks as if his hands are tied. So it looks as if the kisei Hashem, the throne, means the power, the control, as if he doesn't have control. What does it mean? Ein Hashem Shalom. The Shem Yud Kei Vavke is not complete kozman that you have a molik. It's only ko. What do you mean you have ko? So this is where the Rav gave a whole arichas on this. So he says that the Yud Kei Vavke, he says in Shulchan Aruch, the Kavan of Yud Kei Vavke is Hayah Hayve V'yir. So which part of the word refers to Hayah? Which part of the word refers to Hayve? What part refers to Yir? So he said the name of his father. He said the name of his father, Apilpul. And then he said, it says in Kabbalah Svar, like that, Afi Kabbalah. He said like this, the Minchas Chinuch has Apilpul. Minchas Chinuch is Ma'ur HaShayla. When you write a Sefer Torah, say about Yud Kei Vavke. So when you write Yud Kei, okay? Then you write Vav.
Mechikas.
Ashaylas on Mechikas Hashem. Before you wrote the Vav, it's already Hashem. Yud Kei Vavke. Yud Hei Vav is Nishkin Shem Hashem. Ko is Hashem Hashem. So the real Mechikas Hashem is if you write Yud Kei, then you erase it, then you pour ink on it. But if you write Yud Kei and then you write a Vav, that's all such tickle Mechikas Hashem. Maybe we should write backwards. Maybe we should write Hei Vav Kei and then write the Yud. So you write Hey Bob K, you didn't, there's nothing. Then you write the Yud, so you make the Yud K Bob. So he says, he quotes the Achrayim, that even though you only need Siva Kisidron in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, Tefillin and Mezuzahs you have to write in order. Shema Yisrael, Shin, Memai. If you write backwards, it's possible. Right. That's why if you have a mistake in a Tefillin and Mezuzah, you can't correct it. You have to get new parshas, because unless you can erase everything from the end, let's say, Kemei Hashemayim Al Ha'oretz, let's say. So the Aleph and Al Ha'oretz is a crap. So you erase the last couple of letters, the last couple of words, and then you
forward.
Start writing from there to the end, because everything has to be written in order, always by yours. And a Sefer Torah, you don't need Ksiva Kisidron. Achrayim said, because it's impossible. I can have a Sefer Torah without a mistake. There's always going to be a mistake. You're going to have to erase everything and go back, write all over again. Made a mistake on Bereishis. Go to erase the whole Sefer Torah and then start all over again. So they give us Svara wise. It's impossible. So anyway, a mezuzah, tefillin mezuzah, you need ksivik kisidron. Sefer Torah, you don't need ksivik kisidron. But nonetheless, it fits chetshuva quotes from the sefer Mishnas Chachamim, it's a sefer on the Rambam, a chibur on the Rambam, that in the Shem Hashem you need ksivik kisidron. Based on a mordechai with the Rashi and Menachos, there's such a day that you need ksivik kisidron. So the Menachos Chinuch says he had his shaila. How do you write yud kei vav? You write yud kei, then you write the vav. When you write the Vav, you makalkal the Shem, and now it's nothing.
If you
write Yud Kei Vav
Kei, it's not
Hashem. Yeah, this is the Shaila that is. So wouldn't it be better to write first that? No, but you can't write backwards because it's Ksiva Kisidron, and the Mishnah Chacham came up with the Chiddush that the Shem Hashem has that Ksiva Kisidron. Then he has the Mishnah in Yuma. Even in the Sefer Torah.
That they wrote in one time.
So the Mishnah says in Yuma, there was one fellow who can put in four pens. At one time he wrote and he didn't teach the others the trick.
Yeah,
and Shema Shain Yirkab, he goes down in history as the miserable individual he didn't want to teach. So the Minchas Chinuch asked, what's the kunf? What's the... So he knew how to stand on his head. So what's the big deal? He could write faster. So he quotes from the... Yeah, one of the Mefarshim says, the four pens he wrote Yudkei Vavkei. So what's the big deal? He wrote Yudkei Vavkei. Oh, he saved the Mechikas Hashem. Instead of writing Yudkei and then the Vav, so it's Ashtikol Mechikas Hashem. So he wrote all four Bevasachar. Then he clears, is that legitimate or not? If you need Kisidron... So it doesn't mean out of order is no good, or it has to be in order. What if it's simultaneous? What if you print? Let's say, what if you print the fus and you print the whole tefillin and mezuzah bebasach, tefillin and mezuzah need kisidron. So kisidron means there has to be kisidron first, the first letter, then the second letter, then the third letter, then the fourth letter. It means if it's out of order, it's no good. But it's all bebasach, it's good. So this is a whole tefillin in the Minchas Chinuch. So he said, the Rav said that his father once said that when you write. Keep it called Hashem Tzur Elamim, and it says Ki Yor Al Keis Kor. It says Hashem Kor all over in Tanakh Yud Kei. That's not which hay is that from the Yud Kei Vav Kei? Is that the first hay or the second hay? The Rambam says that Yud Kei is a miktas min Hashem on first. That's the Rambam Hilchos Yisaidat Torah. So it's the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it's the hay of Yud Kei. Which hay is it of the Yud? So he said, no, it's the second one. How do you have the Ruach HaKadosh, you know, which the first hay, the second? So he said in the name of his father, he said, I'll pick up ball. I didn't understand what he said. I have it in my notes on Tefillin. I don't know what he said, I'll pick up ball. But he said, Al Pinigle means like this. The Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Hoya Hoya V'Yi. So he said, the Yud always is the future. Yaseh, Yikro, what he's going to do.
Yihye.
So the Yud represents the future. He said, the final hay in Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Ovar.
Yeah.
Also. So you always have the hay at the end represents past tense, and the hay vav in the middle represents hover.
Okay.
Hay vav is present.
Good.
That's the hover. So when the shem kor, ki b'kor shem tzur elamim, the yud represents the future, and the hay is the second hay, the last hay of yudkei vavkei, which is the ovar, and the hay vav in the middle is missing. So when you write yudkei, there's no mechikas Hashem because that's not a shame yet. When you write Yud Kei, the Shem Yud Kei is the first Yud and the last Hey. But when you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have in mind the first Hey in Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. You don't have in mind the last Hey because you want to go Vaitis. So it's not yet the Shem Kor. It looks like the Shem Kor, but it isn't. So he said, that's what his father said to him. What is this all about? Wait a minute, the first Hey, the second Hey, playing games. So he said, what it means. What do you mean the Shem is not Shalom? So he said, this is exactly the taina that I must have spoken about it, but there's an Apikoros in Eretz Yisrael, a philosoph in Eretz Yisrael, Amos Oz. They keep on quoting him in the newspaper. So they quote him as saying, years ago they quoted this statement in the newspaper. The Jewish people, they're always either living in the past or living in the future. They're talking about Avraham Avinu and Yitzchok and Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech and Helik HaTanoim and Helik HaAmoraim and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. They're talking about Rosh Vedzayim, Moshiach Vekumin and Eliyahu. No, we're always talking about the past and the future. I want to live in the present. He wants to enjoy Olam Hazeh. So he says, leave me alone with the past. Leave me alone with the future. Give me a little Hanos Olam Hazeh. He was encouraging, we should give away the Makam HaMikdash. Years ago, we should give it away to the Palestinians. Let them do whatever they want. We don't live in this. We don't call it Bonus, Beis HaMikdash. That's the ancient past. So give it away. It'll be a different Medina. And when we want to see what the Jews used to be like in Shonim Kadmonia, so we'll take our passport, we'll visit this foreign country, and then we'll be Eretz Yisrael, we'll go to the museum at the Beis Hamikdash, then we'll come back to the real life. The real life is Eretz Yisrael with the Zionists, with the movies, real living, no past and no future, leave alone. So that's what the Rav used to say, that one of the philosophers from the Middle Ages wrote such a lashon, Ha'avar Ayin. The past is gone. Ha'osid adayin. The future is not here yet. You only live in the present. Ha'hoiva keherifayin. It's only a fleeting moment. Is dogaminai. What is there to worry about? The past is gone. The future is not here. And the hova is only a fleeting moment. So what dogaminai? What is there to worry about? So the Rav has in several of his printed essays, and the collections of printed essays, he quotes this mimer, and he says, but that's not the Jewish attitude. That's one of the Jewish philosophers wrote that lashon. He says, we don't believe like that. We believe that man lives in the past and the present and the future. You have to link up with the whole of Klal Yisrael. You have to live in the past. And if you only live in the present, it's a bonus. You're a mace. Like this, he lived thousands of years. if you link up with the past, so we live with Avraham Avinu, we live in the future, everything, we live in everything together. So he said, when things are going well, so then it makes sense to live in the past and the present and the future. When things are miserable, you have no money and you have no Beis HaMikdash and you have no nothing, you have no happiness, you have no Medina, there's tzaris. So the Jews only live in the past and in the future. There's nothing to live for in the present. It's empty. So that's the Shem Kor. He says, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim Bizman, that you have Koz Man Sheh Amolek Bo'olam. There's Ra, there's Tzadik Ra L'Rosh HaVetov. So the present is miserable. So all you have is the Kor. The Yud is the first Yud, and the Hey is the last Hey. You have the future, and you have the past, and the present is nothing to speak of. This mancha, this amigdash hayakayam, the Kohanim flegen duchenim with the Shem Amfairash. Because when you have a Beis HaMikdash, means you have Gila Yigila Shkina, as if you have a present that is what to speak of. So then you have the whole Yud gave up. Because this mancha, in Beis HaMikdash Kaim, and you have a Molik, and you have Ra in the world, then is Gefela. So he said this was the problem with Shlomo HaMelech, and this was the problem with Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlomo HaMelech says, I'm the Chacham Mikol Adam, what is there to worry about? I'll marry as many wives as I want, but nothing will happen. So the Yud came to complain. The Yud represents the future. That's what yeah. So the Yud, Yihyeh, the Yud represents, so not that the Yud, the Ois Klila came. That was one interpretation that the Mefarshim have. So he gave a different interpretation. The Yud represents the future. So the Baruch Shalom said to Shlomo HaMelech, Chochameina, now you're a super genius. What's going to be another 40 years? You're also going to be a super genius. And they won't wear you down, your wives. Nothing is going to change. Everything that you're thinking only from the perspective of the present. What's going to be in the future? You're not thinking of the future. You're only thinking of the present. And the same was the Avlet that the Baruch Shalom tainted against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I gefelach ata heir ato. The Baruch Shalom said, I told you the present is miserable. I told you it's going to be gefelach. I told you it's going to be Para is not going to be masculine. Yeah. It's going to be in the future. I told you, rely on me that it's going to be in the future. So they both had the same avle, that they both just wanted to live in the present. They were both ignoring the future. And the Ikir is no, that you have to live in all the past, the present, and the future. The people who want to live only in the present, that's like Amos.
Okay. Thank you.